From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, September 12, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one. It says, even in a pile of manure, a flower will grow. Maybe so. But you wouldn't want to wear it on your lapel.
You're so weird.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, this is big.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I'm excited.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Oh, come on. Nobody's buying that anymore. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1958, Jack Kilby demonstrated the first working integrated circuit while working at Texas Instruments. Thanks to him, we all have cell phones. For better or worse, you be the judge. I'm lost without mine. Yeah. And it was on this day in 1990, the two German states, you know, East and West Germany and the Four Powers, signed the treaty on the final settlement with respect to Germany and Moscow, paving the way for German reunification. Almost immediately, East Germans moved to trade in their smoke-belching Trabants for Volkswagens and BMWs.
If you can find a better car, buy it.
Admittedly, I'm a little late to the game in talking about this, but, you know, we've had so many domestic things to concern ourselves with. You know, the open border being one of them. The dreadful things that are happening in places like Springfield, Ohio, and El Paso, and Aurora, Colorado. This open border of ours, I warned a long time ago already, is going to create some real problems for us 10, 15, and 20 years down the road in this country. We have had an open border now for almost 4 years, and we haven't begun to pay for it. And we're going to pay for it culturally, economically, morally. It's going to take a tremendous toll on us. And through it all, you have the left here in the United States just babbling on and on and on, even particularly in the mainstream media, about misinformation, disinformation. Well, nobody seems to be very clear about who is going to be the judge of what is and isn't disinformation. And I'm seeing the same things happening now in Brazil, where they've just recently had a dictator take over. I never thought it would happen in Brazil. I never thought it would happen in Brazil. In fact, the exact opposite is happening in Argentina. If you want to watch a country on the rise, watch Argentina. But Brazil right now, last weekend, Brazil kind of blew up because the right, the conservatives in Brazil, have taken to the streets. Now, granted, the numbers are only in the thousands for now. But they gathered across Brazil Saturday to decry this controversial decision by Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes, who ordered the suspension of X, formerly Twitter, you know, and it's now banned in the country. And it came after a months-long standoff between Elon Musk and Brazilian authorities over compliance with content moderation laws. Now, this ruling is being seen by many, particularly supporters of former President Jair Bolsonaro, as an alarming infringement on free speech, because that's what it is. Now, the protests led by conservative groups and Bolsonaro loyalists took place in major cities like Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. Participants in these protests rallied against what they describe as authoritarian overreach by the judiciary. Now, protesters carried the usual banners denouncing censorship and hailing Musk as a free speech defender. It's very interesting that his photo was on a lot of the placards that they were carrying, which is really neat. Bolsonaro himself sticking his neck out, still influential among Brazil's right wing, and he voiced his strong support for Musk and criticized Moraes for his repeated efforts to silence dissent. But I'm seeing a lot of things going on here in the United States that seem to be precursors of what's going on right now down in Brazil. Once again, I can't emphasize enough, you cannot allow Kamala Harris to get the presidency. I really, really would be, I'd be seriously concerned if she won the presidency. Now, there are ways within our Constitution to get her out of office if she shows signs of heading us toward a dictatorship. I mean, our Constitution has saved our necks from that very thing from happening before, during several occasions in the nation's history. There are some safeguards in the Constitution. But when you have a mainstream media, when you have six companies controlling virtually all of your news media, and these six companies are all leaning to the left, they're greasing the palms of left-wing politicians in the country constantly with infusions of cash. I mean, there is a desire in this country by a rather large group of people for a dictatorship, a left-wing dictatorship. There are all these efforts in Washington all the time to do these end runs around our Constitution. I mean, look at all the silly bills they pass. And they give them nice flowery titles like Inflation Reduction Act. And it had nothing to do with inflation reduction. It had everything to do with the green agenda, but it had nothing to do with reducing inflation. So watch what's going on in Brazil, because it's big. This clash between Musk and the Brazilian judiciary dates back to earlier disputes regarding X's refusal to comply with orders to remove certain accounts accused of spreading misinformation. For instance, in August, X's office in Brazil was shut down after the company refused to name a legal representative. Well, this escalated the confrontation, with Moraes slapping X with hefty fines and ultimately issuing the suspension order in late August. So this guy, just as Moraes' move to ban X, has been seen by critics as politically motivated. I mean, what other motivation could there be? Moraes, who has aggressively pursued Bolsonaro supporters for spreading election misinformation, gave Brazil's telecommunications agency just 24 hours to enforce the ban. Apple and Google were also instructed to remove X from their app stores within 5 days. And all that did was to serve to further heighten tensions. I mean, who knows where this could all lead? We are, after all, talking about Brazil. And while Brazil's current left-wing president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, that's a mouthful for you, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, has largely supported the court's decision. Naturally, you would expect that. And that move reignited a fierce debate about the limits of free speech and the role of social media in modern democracies. And see, that's a crutch they use to justify their heavy-handed tactics, and that is, well, this is a modern democracy. Bullcorn. Now, Lula's government has defended the ban as necessary to curb the spread of dangerous misinformation. And that seems to be a growing concern following Bolsonaro supporters' storming of the Congress in January. And it was an event eerily reminiscent of the January 6th Capitol riots here in our own country. I mean, it's almost as if there is a worldwide virus starting. Now, Musk has pretty well established himself as a free speech absolutist. And this rubs a lot of people, a lot of influential people, a lot of evil influential people the wrong way. They don't like it. But Musk has been resolute in pushing back against the court's orders down there, arguing that they constitute censorship. Now, in an incendiary post on X, Musk mocked Moraes with an AI-generated image of the judge behind bars, predicting that Moraes would one day face imprisonment. And this confrontation, of course, bolstered Musk's image as a defender of free expression among Brazil's right. Even as Musk faces mounting challenges over content moderation policies, and it's not just in Brazil, he's facing this globally. Geez, can you imagine the pressure he's starting to get from the CCP? We're talking about Brazil here, where X has millions of users. And one of its largest markets outside the United States and Japan is Brazil. The platform's become particularly important in Brazil's political sphere, with politicians from all sides utilizing it for campaign purposes. So the judicial ban, if upheld, threatens to deprive thousands of candidates of a key communication tool ahead of Brazil's municipal elections in October. Now, the ban on X follows a broader trend in Brazil of cracking down on social media platforms that fail to comply with local regulations. A couple of years ago, 2022, Telegram faced a similar temporary ban for not sharing data tied to extremist content. WhatsApp also was banned briefly. That was back in 2016 over non-compliance with data requests. But the scale of the X ban, given its role as a major platform political discourse, has drawn what is being described as unprecedented backlash. And we need to keep watching it. RFK Jr. was one of several pundits and political leaders who expressed his disgust with ABC News debate moderators David Muir and Lindsay Davis, who frequently interrupted Trump with incorrect fact checks while allowing Harris to get away with blatant lies. I was sitting there in the living room just kind of pounding the arms of my chair. But then again, this isn't anything that should surprise any of us. We have come to expect this over not just the years, but the decades from our mainstream media. Throughout the debate, Muir and Davis issued these little fact checks of Trump's answers. And on more than one occasion, they engaged in interventions that were verifiably false. And it just really pissed me off. All right, so let's itemize. Incorrect fact checks. We had a claim that full-term abortion is not permitted in any state. Well, they were ignoring an explicit endorsement of the practice from former Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, remember him? And a claim that there's no evidence of pets and local wildlife being killed by illegal aliens in Springfield, Ohio, which blatantly ignored police reports and citizen testimony. There's even citizen video floating around on the internet, which I'm sure would be censored if they could do it. Then, on the other hand, you had Harris, who was allowed to get away with several lies, including the false claim that police officers were killed on January 6th. She also mentioned that thoroughly debunked Very Fine People hoax. I'm surprised she even brought that up. I thought she knew that had been debunked. And then there were several false statements about her past positions. And then shortly after the debate, RFK Jr. got a microphone and a camera. I think he was talking to Newsmax. And Tuesday evening, ended up being one of several political leaders who found Muir and Davis to be clearly biased. But Here's what RFK Jr. had to say.
We had moderators who were clearly biased, who were constantly fact-checking Donald Trump. But none of these kind of whoppers that the vice president was saying, and none of her failure to really explain that, answer that first question, that very, very critical first question. They simply sat there on the sidelines and allowed that to pass.
Florida's Ron DeSantis also expressed his disgust. He was visibly disgusted with the ABC moderators, referring to the two-hour event as a three-on-one debate, which it was.
Yes, it was a three-on-one debate. It was disappointing that she didn't have her feet held to the fire by the moderators. They went out of their way to try to do that to Donald Trump. But I think people that take away from this debate, even with all that, Donald Trump is the candidate that's going to change things. Kamala Harris is the candidate that, as President Trump said in his closing statement, she's been there 3.5 years. Why hasn't she fixed any of these problems during that time? She does not have an answer to that question.
And the thing that really further angers me about this mainstream media is the media wants to be the moderator of what is and isn't misinformation and disinformation in this country. And we cannot allow that. We just can't allow it. Thank God we have the internet and we still have the First Amendment. But we need to really get busy. Those of us who are conservatives, those of us who love our Constitution, need to really get busy calling the mainstream media out at every turn when they pull this crap. And for his part, Trump expressed confidence in the debate results. He tweeted, I thought that was my best debate ever, especially since it was 3-on-1. In a massive and unprecedented transfer of political capital, Boris Said, who's a Chicago-based industrialist, quietly donated $1.6 billion to the Marble Freedom Trust. Now, what's the Marble Freedom Trust? It is an organization closely associated with conservative legal strategist Leonard Leo. And it's a nonprofit. It's a 501c4 organization. And it now sits on one of the largest war chests ever amassed in American political history, thanks to Side's contribution. Now, this donation, extraordinary as it is, underscores the power of private money in shaping the future of American politics and its courts. Now, we've seen this exercised over the years, over the decades, by the likes of George Soros. Okay, we've seen this time and again. Soros bad, Boris Said good. Said is a private yet prolific donor to conservative causes. And he transferred ownership of his company, Trip Light, to the Marble Freedom Trust in 2021. Now, shortly thereafter, the company was sold to Eaton Corporation for $1.65 billion. Effectively preserving the full value of the sale for Leo's operation while avoiding hundreds of millions in taxes. Clever! Side's intent was pretty clear. To ensure that the money would be used to protect and advance conservative ideals across the judiciary and public policy. We needed something like this. Now, it's not that this is the first time this sort of thing has been done. But it has never been done to this degree. We're talking $1.6 billion here. And this transaction is yet another example of how strategic philanthropy can shift the ideological balance in critical American institutions, especially the courts. So Leonard Leo, already one of the most influential figures on the right, you may never have heard that name. And you won't, because the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about him. No more than they want you to know about George Soros, okay? But Leonard Leo rose to prominence as the architect behind Trump's successful appointments of 3 Supreme Court justices. That was Leonard Leo behind that. You know, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. And those were hard-fought-for appointments. They really were. You remember the hearings, how god-awful they were, how reprehensibly god-awful the Democrats were in in trying to tarnish these people. But they got in. Now, these appointments cemented a conservative supermajority on the court, which has already delivered some landmark rulings, you know, like the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And Leo's reach extends beyond judicial appointments. He's helped shape the broader conservative legal ecosystem. He's provided funding and strategic advice to like-minded organizations and think tanks, that sort of thing. The Marble Freedom Trust was formed in 2020, and it operates with a high level of secrecy, typical of 501c4 groups. These organizations aren't required to disclose their donors, which has led critics to label them as dark money vehicles, but that goes on both sides. They've been doing it over on the left for years. And they've been doing it on the right for years. However, they're entirely legal, and they serve as vital counterweights to the similarly structured progressive groups that have, for a long time, benefited from left-leaning billionaires, again, like Soros and Hans-Jörg Wyss. Now, Leo hasn't been shy about the trust's purpose. He has been open about this, saying that it aims to be it aims to go toe-to-toe with liberal funders to defend conservative values and the Constitution. Who could be against that? So this massive influx of cash is going to supercharge conservative efforts to reshape the judiciary further, influence elections, and naturally combat leftist policies that have taken root in corporate America. DEI comes to mind. And one of the trust's goals is to push back against environmental, social, and governance initiative. Remember ESG that we talked about so much about 2 years ago? Which a lot of conservatives are seeing that, this ESG crap, as a dangerous form of woke capitalism aimed at promoting progressive values within the private sector. Now, over the next few years, the trust is expected to play a key, call it central role in countering this trend, funding campaigns against companies like BlackRock and Coca-Cola that have embraced ESG practices. Now, the implications of this particular donation are huge. By controlling such a vast sum of money, Leo is poised to shape the landscape of American politics for decades in the future. His influence has already been felt in the Supreme Court's recent rulings on religious liberty, gun rights, and abortion, with more cases likely to come before the court in the years ahead. You notice that these three justices that were appointed to the Supreme Court during Donald Trump's term are young people. They're going to be around for a while. So with Side's donation, the conservative movement now has the resources to not only maintain its momentum, but to accelerate its efforts to restore traditional American values. And this is what I pray for. I'm an old guy. I don't know how many more years I've got left, but I sure would like to see my kids and grandkids enjoy some of the greatness that America enjoyed back in the 1950s and early 60s. This country really turned the corner with the assassination of JFK. After that happened, this country started going downhill, and it has been going downhill ever since. There was a brief respite for 8 years under Ronald Reagan, thank God. And admittedly, Bill Clinton wasn't all bad. At least Clinton understood we had to have a strong economy, and he played ball with the Republicans in Washington. It was said on more than one occasion, Bill Clinton was the best friend the Republicans had. But those days are over. Then we had Donald Trump for 3 years. The fourth year cut short, of course, because of COVID. We can never allow anything like that to happen again. So anyhow, you've got your critics concerned about the influence of this dark money in politics. But the fact remains that groups like the Marble Freedom Trust are critical for leveling the playing field. Because we've been living under this very uneven playing field. The left has all of the media, virtually all of the media, with the exception of AM radio, You know, you have a more level playing field on the internet, but not when it comes to search engines. You know, that's that I find disturbing. So the left has benefited for a long time from similar structures and donations, and Mr. Side's contribution ensures the conservatives are going to continue to at least have somewhat of a voice in the most important political and legal battles of our time. As Leonard Leo himself has noted, it's time for conservatives to step up and fight against the tide of progressive policy sweeping across the country, and I would argue the Western world at large. And when you think of that word fight, I want you to think of Donald Trump holding his fist up in the air and the American flag flying in the background with blood streaming down the right side of his face. I want you to think of that. In the end, Mr. Side's donation to the Marble Freedom Trust marks a new chapter in the ongoing struggle for the heart and soul of America's political institutions. And don't forget, we have to win the hearts and souls of these low information voters who think that Kamala Harris is going to be just fine. So now with billions of dollars at its disposal, the conservative movement is in a much better position to influence the next generation of legal decisions and public policy. And whether it's protecting religious freedom or defending the Second Amendment or pushing back against overreach by the federal government, the Marble Freedom Trust is going to be a key player, I think, in preserving and promoting conservative ideals across the nation. All righty, let's move along now to the Comedy Corner and Ken Kington.
How, show of hands, how many of you heard the phrase growing up, you can be anything you want to be? Did you hear that? Yeah, what a crock that turned out to be. I wanted to play in the NBA. Turns out I'm short, I'm slow, and I can't jump. Not a good resume, but it wasn't bad. We were middle school, and my best friend, I'll call him Alan, because that was his name. And they said, you can be anything you want. He's like, dude, I'm going to be a model. And I'm like, dude, you're ugly. Can't be whatever you want to be. I actually did an event with the NBA a few years ago, met Shaquille O'Neal. You guys know who Shaq is, right? And I started dying laughing. My buddy said, what's so funny? I said, what if they told Shaq that growing up? You be anything you want to be. No, he can't. What if Shaq's dream in life is to be a professional horse jockey? Imagine those horses. And you start learning it through life. Like, I worked fast food as a teenager. Anybody else work fast food? Yes, these are my people. Never give fast food workers a hard time. I don't care what you got, what happened, don't give them a hard time. I was in line behind a guy the other day, and he's just like, and just reaming the poor little girl, going, sir, no pickles on the sandwich, you take a bite, don't just take the pickles off, you give me the sandwich. This girl's in tears, like, I'm so sorry. And she goes back there, and I'm thinking, I didn't say it, but I want to go, dude, you paid $5, you got food in a bag. Be happy. But I didn't, because if you've ever worked fast food, you know this happened. I don't know what was on his sandwich when it went behind the counter. He's not going to want what's on it when it comes back. I'm just saying. And then I see jobs I could not do. They have road construction here in Provo? That was a bit of a rhetorical question. They got guys in the neighborhoods that stand there with that sign, stop, slow. Stop. Slow. Now, these guys get paid really well, but I'm just telling you, I could not do that job. With my personality, after about a half hour, I would start messing with people. Stop. Slow, stop. Slow, stop. Stop. And what really cracks me up is these guys wear hard hats. Is that in case the sign falls off or something? That just makes me laugh. And then I got to thinking of other jobs I could not do. I flew out here from Atlanta, Georgia, and I flew to Salt Lake, and it was awesome, but I love flight attendants. I love them. I could not do that job. One flight of having to stand up at that door at the end of every flight. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. We'll see you. Get off the plane!
Get out there and have an awesome Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic broadcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.